Blessed be the name of the Lord, and may it be that our love for him is the same as his love for us, true divine love, without any ifs or buts. And God loved us when we were still sinners, far away from him, and he did not hold anything against us, forgave all our iniquity, wiped away all our sins, truly let mercy prevail over justice, redeemed us and reconciled us with himself on the cross of Calvary. We will proclaim salvation until the end, just as it happened, namely on the cross of Calvary, when the blood of the Lamb of God was shed. There's only one reconciliation, and it happened at Golgotha. Anyone who seeks another way is going astray. Those who think they can bypass Golgotha will not enter into glory. When we sometimes sing the chorus, "Glorious Golgotha," we are not singing about the place, but about what happened there for us. Our hearts beat for him whose heart beat for us, our Lord and Savior. We heard it so beautifully in Isaiah 45. You shall not seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak in righteousness and proclaim truth. Gather yourselves together and come. Draw near, all you nations. What a warning, what an invitation we receive. Come unto me, all ye, our Lord has proclaimed, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. Beloved, let us gather before the face of God today, as if we were here in the presence of the Lord, who has invited us to hear his word. And wherever he proclaimed the word and people believed him, they experienced him as he truly is, as Savior, as Healer, as Deliverer. And as has often been said, no one who came to the Lord lived as they had come. Those who came blind left seeing. Those who came leprous left clean. Those who came burdened with sin left free with forgiveness. No matter how or in what condition people came to the Lord, even those who were possessed were set free and went on their way, praising the Lord. Let us gather in the presence of God, fully aware that he is present, that not only is his word being proclaimed here, but that he is present as the one who speaks, as the Savior, as the Healer, as the one to whom we can and will come even now. We are called upon in Isaiah 45, verse 21, "Tell ye and bring up the matter." Let us do that. We all have prayer requests. We all have needs that we want to bring before the Lord, whether they concern us, our family, people close to us, whatever they may be. We come to the Lord as we are, and present our case to him. And then he lets us know, have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. He is a just God who has brought salvation. He has become our Savior. As it is written here, truth has gone out of my mouth, a word that is unbreakable. It simply pierces through marrow and bone. When one reads such scriptures, people break their words, have good intentions, but cannot keep them. God keeps his promises. The heavens will fall before his word deceives me. Heaven and earth may burn, hills and mountains may disappear, but those who seek will find that God's word remains eternally true, as the song goes. Verse 18 was also very important, as was verse 19. One could read everything again. Verse 19, I have not spoken in secret, in a dark place of the earth. No, God has always revealed himself. He had people who have seen, heard, and witnessed. Then the Lord says to the people of Israel as a whole, ye are my witnesses. Isaiah 43, verse 10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen. Both witnesses and servant, serving him on the one hand, and testifying that he has revealed himself on the other. And our Lord also said in Acts 1, ye are my witnesses. Stay in Jerusalem until ye are endued with power from on high. Peter wrote, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Eyewitnesses. John writes, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which our hands have handled, of the word of life, we proclaim to you. We may know that God has included us in this great cloud of witnesses. Some have already departed, others are still here. We too may be witnesses to what God has done in our generation. Beloved brothers and sisters, we do not testify to these things in order to exalt any man. Far be it from us. On the day we begin to give honor to a human being, we have ceased to give glory to God. We are fully aware of this. And we know the scriptures well enough to know that God also said through the prophet Isaiah, my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. We know the scriptures well enough to be warned and to know what to watch out for. But if it is God who has testified of himself, and if we report this, then we have done only one thing. We have not concealed the fact that God has revealed himself in a supernatural way. And if somewhere in the background there is a person who was there when God did something, then it may be necessary to mention him from time to time. But the real focus is always on our Lord and God. When we read the story of Saul's conversion, we cannot help but give glory to the truth and testify to what really happened. It was not about this man. It was about the cause of God, who wanted to use someone and who saw the right man in this zealot. The light appeared to him, and he cried out, "Who are you, Lord?" And the answer was, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Then came the great call, "You shall be a chosen vessel unto me. I will send you far away to the Gentiles, for you shall bear my name before kings," and so on. Was this about a man from Tarsus? God's concern was that the message be carried on and proclaimed with demonstration of the Spirit and power. The vessel is completely unimportant. God takes vessels. He takes whom He wills, blesses and uses. I have said it again and again. If there are brothers who cannot yet rejoice when God blesses and uses someone, then the time has not yet come for them to be used by God. Only when we feel joy in our hearts, when God reveals Himself, when God blesses someone and can use them as a blessing, when we can rejoice, according to the scripture, if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. This is what is written in 1 Corinthians 12. And this joy must fill us, no matter whom God calls, whom He uses. He must have people through whom He can speak and work. I would like to briefly look at Philippians 1, and then we will pray together, praying that God will answer and that the place can and will be moved. I believe that we all have such a desire within us that we want to tell it to the Lord, to present to Him, to ask Him to reveal Himself as He did in the beginning. We need it very much. Philippians chapter 1. From verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Perhaps up to this point, and then later on, Paul wrote to people who from the very first day did not think twice, but were seized by God and fully committed themselves to the cause, sharing in what was happening at that time through the proclamation of the gospel. And he says, from the first day until now. Beloved, God wants to make us such people who are inwardly moved from the first day to the last, and then participate in what God does, who do not become lukewarm and sluggish, only to be spit out, but who are constantly rekindled with the divine fire of love and the Spirit, and who do not carry out the Lord's work casually, but are moved by the Holy Spirit, imbued with divine love, so that the fire burns in our hearts and God can truly reveal Himself. Paul could write to such people with joy. It was not sorrow, it was joy. There was no need for rebuke, correction, or instruction. He says, I'll do it with joy and pray for you because of your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I had to think of this when I heard that the brothers and sisters from Czechoslovakia were coming, when we drove through Slovakia and then to Poland 2 weeks ago. We remembered days 22 years ago when I first preached the biblical truths there in 1968. And Brother Bas said, do you remember the baptism we had here back then? It was winter, there was ice and snow, but it didn't bother us. And we see that the same fire, the same zeal has remained to this day. And I believe we can say it has become even more, it has increased. We see more clearly today than we saw then. We understand better than we understood then. Beloved, God truly seeks people who do not need time to think about believing in Him and following Him, but those who from the very first day, when the word is spoken to them, when the biblical truths are proclaimed, then we no longer need time to think, then the decision is made. And blessed is the person who makes the divine decision at the moment when the Word of God is spoken to us. Paul writes here, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you, you always know who began it. Namely, how the beginning was. If the beginning was a divine beginning, then the end will be a divine end. If God has begun with us, God will finish with us. Then we do not need to struggle. We do not need time to think. We say yes to God and God's word and fully commit ourselves and receive the full blessing of our God. Being confident, Paul writes, how could it be otherwise? Where is there room for doubt? There is no room for doubt. When God reveals Himself to a person, brings them to the knowledge of the truth, to the knowledge of sin, wrought by the Holy Spirit, and thus a divine beginning is made. There is confidence, there is trust, no matter what may come or go. We have complete confidence that He who began will also finish. It is His work that He has begun in us. You did not begin your work. I did not begin my work. He began His work in us. And he who began will finish his work unto the day of Jesus Christ, as it is written here. If it was you who tried, then keep trying or not. Let the Lord do it. Then all attempts will fail. Then a divine beginning has been made. And where a divine beginning has been made, there will also be a divine end. Have we all understood this? Not our efforts, but God's mercy. And through the revelation of Jesus Christ, it is granted to us. I read on from verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. The divine mystery of intimate fellowship with God and with one another is described very clearly here. Not only did a church come into being, not only did people become believers, no, it was more than that. They were all part of the same work. They shared in the same cause. Not all were apostles. Not all were shepherds or prophets. But all had become children of God through the new birth, through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And all had a share in what was happening. And this is how Paul expressed it here. He had remembered how they stood by him, even in trials, in captivity, in suffering. They stood together. Yes, the sufferings and trials had brought them even closer to God and to each other. And the same will be true of us. If we have the mind of Jesus Christ in us, as I just said, then it does not matter who was called or sent by God. What matters is that we discern the body of the Lord, which consists of many members. And Paul himself asks, are all apostles, are all teachers, and so on. But all are members of Christ, and all have a task to perform in the body of the Lord. All share in the same cause. Paul was destined to defend God's message and to bear witness to it. Not everyone will have to stand before kings and princes. Usually it is those whom God has called, who then have to go through trials, imprisonment, and many other things. But that is God's way, and that is why they must walk such a path. But it says here that they stood by him and were fellow workers in the ministry of grace entrusted to me. He speaks of a ministry, of a service. God has set ministries and offices in the church. And we believe that these ministries, as they were established in the beginning, will continue until the end. There is no other way. And if they have not been able to penetrate so deeply in the meantime, then we believe that in the end it will be said, here too the signs of an apostle have been fulfilled. Here too God has confirmed his word, not a human being, but his precious and holy word. We simply believe this. It cannot be otherwise. For God's program remains the same. And if he who began it shall and will finish it, then the same church, with all that was in the beginning, will be brought to completion. And as in the beginning, may it be granted to us to have full part in all things. As already said, not everyone could be a Paul. I cannot be either. And no one can say to the Lord, make this or that out of me. He is the potter. We are the clay. He knows what he can use you and me for. He knows what you are suited for. And that is precisely where he will and wants to use you. But Paul regarded all believers as people who were partakers in the ministry that God had entrusted to him. They stood behind him. They prayed for him. He prayed for them. In one letter, he even says that he remembered them by name. He remembered them by name. What a deep bond among true believers. Beloved, have you ever consciously prayed for your brother or sister by name? Have the concerns of others become your own? Or have you perhaps mentioned the names of others in critical conversation, but not in heartfelt prayer? I have often repeated and said, when I know that you are praying for me, then I also know that you are not talking about me. Yes, and you can take that as a rule of thumb. Those who talk do not pray, and those who pray do not talk. But which is better? Prayer. Talking has only made things worse to this day, but prayer has already changed and improved many things. And when we become aware of the power of prayer, when we pray in faith, not in anger and not in doubt, but in faith, then we will experience miracles. Paul continues here, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. We have often said this in this place. A true man of God does not only want to lead people to conversion, he wants to see them again in heaven. He wants to have preached the word in such a way that the people who have become believers enter into glory. I believe that for us who must proclaim his word, I deliberately say must, because there can be no question of wanting or would like. We must do so. It is God's commission that cannot be avoided, especially when one knows that one has received it. Paul wanted to serve in such a way that people would stand blameless on the day of Christ. Not only him, but also all those who had become believers. What should we say today, knowing that the day of Christ, of which he spoke, was almost 2,000 years away at that time? Today, the day of Jesus Christ's return is within reach. What should we say today? with what reverence for God, with what inner devotion and conviction must we proclaim the word today, as if it were our last opportunity to experience God. For we do not know whether the Lord might come for me and for you before his return. Is that right? Who can guarantee that all of us who are here today will still be here on the day of Jesus Christ when he returns to take his own home? At that time, our brothers and sisters fell asleep in the Lord, not died, but they fell asleep in the Lord, and they will be there at the first resurrection. They have placed their hope in the Lord, and the hope that has its foundation in the Word does not lead to disappointment, but to fulfillment. Praise be to the name of the Lord. The hope we have based on the divine promise of the Word does not lead to disappointment, but to the fulfillment of God's promise. In every way, and that is why our faith is a living faith, because the Word is alive, the Lord is alive, and the hope we carry within us is a living hope. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Do you carry it within you? If so, then this hope also carries you. Everyone who has this hope in him. And what does John say? Whoever has this hope in himself purifies himself just as he is pure. That this area of God would also be made accessible to us, that we would be transformed more and more into the image of Jesus Christ, permeated by his truthfulness, filled with his Spirit, and carrying his essence, his life, his divine nature within us, of which we have become partakers. As Peter writes, you have all read it, or shall I read it to you, that we have become partakers of the divine nature. Peter writes it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us, 2 Peter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Partakers of the divine nature. Here Paul continues writing to the Philippians, that ye may approve, verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. I don't know about you, but especially when you are faced with decisions, it becomes critical. And I have experienced myself how you then wrestle with yourself and simply say to the Lord, let me make decisions that I can live and die with. Decisions that you can support, that will stand before you. I believe that every child of God will examine themselves in this way and not only make decisions, but actually stand before the Lord and say, help me to make the decision that you have remade for me. A person cannot do more than bow before God in this way surrender to Him, make themselves available to Him, and say to Him, Lord, the decision is too difficult for me. I cannot make it. Make it for me. Here we have clearly stated how we as believers should live and walk with all devotion, with all participation in what is happening. I will read verses 9 to 11 from Philippians 1 again. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. We are also grateful for this. May there be knowledge, but not alone, also sensitivity. And you can already see whether the knowledge comes from God, namely whether the one who has the knowledge also has sensitivity. If they behave like a bull in a china shop, then you can forget it. They have it here, but not here. True knowledge that comes from God and is worked by the Spirit is carried in love and passed on in the same love, without dogmatism and all the other things that are sometimes found. Here it tells us clearly, in knowledge and in all sensitivity, we want both divine knowledge and the sensitivity truly given by the Lord to empathize with everyone and to be able to put ourselves in every situation in order to be blessed and used by the Lord. Then it continues, that ye may approve things that are excellent. May God grant it to me, may God grant it to you, may He grant it to us all, that not only in some cases, but in every case, in every decision, whatever it may be, that God may lead us on the right path with right decisions through life, and that we may indeed rest in it, as it is written here, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. We live in a time when the Church of the Lord, the Bride of the Lamb, is reaching her perfection. We live in a time when she is to be equipped once more and used once more for ministry, so that the last ones may be called out and added to it, so that the number may be complete and the Lord may return. In view of the fact that we still want to pray today, pray together, possibly even here at the front, let me just read Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10, without dwelling on individual points. Let us read it together, read it slowly, read it prayerfully, with an inner desire to receive what is promised here. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Have we ever perceived it that way? Sometimes we find ourselves in the midst of a spiritual battle and think it's this one and that one and so on. These are principalities and powers that may rule over other people, but whose influence comes from the underworld. But Satan still has access. He can still accuse. And the powers of darkness, which are actually defeated, are still at work until the day when Revelation 20 will be fulfilled, when Satan will be bound and cast down into the abyss, and of course everything that belongs to him as well. First Revelation 12, that Satan will be cast down with all who follow him, and then down. We still have to fight against beings, not flesh and blood, and we must equip ourselves with spiritual weapons for this spiritual battle. Knowledge and the best teaching are of no use here. We need more of God, an equipping with power from on high, divine authority, before which Satan trembles and must bow. He will not bow before your authority or mine, but he will have to bow before the power of God. What did the Lord say at that time? If I cast out evil spirits by the finger of God, or another scripture, by the Spirit of God, by whom do your sons cast them out? What was it? Jesus was equipped with the power of the Spirit. He was born as the Son of God, then equipped and put into service. Through the new birth, we have become sons and daughters of God, but we must be equipped for the service that God has entrusted to the Church. And if the powers that are against us are spiritual in nature, then our equipment must be spiritual, divine in nature, in order to be able to confront the other side. And may this word penetrate us today until it separates soul and spirit, as it is written in Hebrews 4, verse 12, and we become fully aware that we have been placed in the midst of the greatest battle of all time. Wait just a little longer, and the battle will become very heated. We need special equipment with power from on high. Even all those who have already experienced the baptism of the Spirit feel that it is not enough. We need divine authority in the name of Jesus Christ, authority of the Word, authority of the Spirit, authority in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that demons bow down and depart and go out in the name of the Lord. Have respect for the divine authority that the Lord gives us. God wants to do it. God will do it. It goes on to say here, but feel free to read this chapter again in silence today, after the meeting. From verse 13 we read, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. May God grant us grace for this. We need this full armor of God. This is not the equipment of a human being, as we read, but the whole armor of God. It goes on to say, Stand therefore. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. May God help us. God help us. That we may truly gird our loins with the divine truth of the word. Gird them tightly, so that nothing blows back and forth, but that we may be firmly girded with truth. I don't know why, but by nature, when I see someone who is not wearing a belt, I don't know why they are not doing so. It is simply part of it. Our Lord is also girded. Gird up your loins. We are called upon to truly put on the whole armor of God for spiritual warfare. Look at the people who went to war. The real ones. They had a belt. There was something there. It was firm. And you simply need that. As I said, we have been placed in a great battle, the greatest battle of all time. Do you believe that? I believe it. Satan will make his last efforts to thwart God's work. And he will do everything he can, but he will not succeed. For Jesus Christ is the only victor, the victor of Golgotha. And his victory is our victory. And our faith worked in us by the Spirit of God, in him and in the finished work of redemption, is the victory that has already overcome the world. And he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We need not fear. We only need to put on the whole armor of God. And then I would like to know, who can withstand the armor of God? You remember when David took Saul's armor and it didn't work at all. He quickly took it off again. It would have been his downfall. But then he stepped forward in the name of the Lord. We too cannot put on other armor. We must have divine equipment that is suitable for us in accordance with the word and the times in order to be able to resist on our day. And the word of our God is the sword of the Spirit and has been made available to us so that we may stand firm in faith and that the enemy may be put to flight and not us. It continues in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Elsewhere, only the shield and faith are mentioned. Here, the large shield of faith is mentioned, in connection with the divine equipment that the Lord has promised and given to his church. Not only promised, but also given, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You see, prayer for all the saints. In Romans 8 we are told that whoever prays in the Spirit prays and intercedes for the saints. Here we are to intercede for all the saints. Paul prayed for the believers, and they prayed for him. Let us do the same in these days, that we may do everything together, sing, pray, believe, and put the enemy to flight, that we may become aware of the common task that God has set before us. It then continues, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. May God grant me all that has been promised to a preacher. May God grant it to Brother Russ, Brother Schmidt, all my brothers who minister with the word. May God, in His mercy, cause all the whole body of the Lord to be set in motion. As the prophet Ezekiel saw, that the members come together and that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon the individual members and that all stand on their feet. You can read about this in the prophet Ezekiel. Before, they were all scattered, but when the word was spoken and the Spirit of God came upon the dry bones, they all went to where they belonged. They were no longer lying around. They all stood there, perfectly assembled. God will do the same thing now. Through His Spirit, He will fill all the members of the body of Jesus Christ, set them on their feet, and equip them with power from on high for the ministry that has been entrusted to us. Not just proclaiming a divine message, not just preaching the gospel. Anyone can do that. But there is one thing in which all believers are involved, and that is the work of God, entrusted to the body of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, one body, many members, one head, and all members subordinate to the one head. I believe, as I have said often enough, that in the end, the Lord will do the same thing He did in the beginning. And that includes the gathering together of the body of Jesus Christ. And may I ask you, how does that happen? How does it happen? I will read it to you. I will read it to you from the Holy Scriptures, so that you may know that we must all put aside our own ideas and believe what the Scriptures say. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Perhaps I will read 12 and 13. For as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. There is only one biblical water baptism, and that is done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is only one biblical baptism of the Spirit, and through this baptism of the Spirit, the members are incorporated into the body of Christ. They may be there before, but they are all baptized into one body and are all imbued with one Spirit. One Spirit that saturates, floods, and flows through everyone. And this imbuing, this baptism, be it water baptism or spirit baptism, we need both water baptism and spirit baptism. And we need both biblically. And may God help and bless us. Be with us all. And as I said before, may He place a deep desire in all of us today to simply come to Him in prayer and faith, in the certainty that we will receive from Him what He has promised. He is building His church. He is completing His church unto the day of His return. And we want to be sure that we belong to His church, that we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, yes, that we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, who wants to flow through every single member, yes, to fill them with His life. Our God, who Himself said through Paul that He will bring the work He has begun to completion unto the day of His return. We believe it. And we believe that we have a share in this divine completion because we have received the word of God's promise in us by faith. And faith brings about the action of God. Faith in what God has promised brings about His action. Thus, we can fully expect that we will still experience God's gracious visitation in a wonderful way. To Him, our Lord and God, be all honor, all praise, and all glory. Amen. Let us stand and give thanks to the Lord together. I do not know how you feel. You must know that for yourselves. But it would be nice if we could all have a short time of prayer here before the face of God. This is the day that He has made. The wise are now getting oil from the Lord. The foolish will then go to the merchants. But the wise are coming now, filling their lamps, filling their jars with the oil of the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Jesus is here. He baptizes with Spirit and fire, even today. He baptizes today in this place with Spirit and fire, and we all need it. Let us praise Him in perfect faith, raising our voices together. Hallelujah. Give thanks, pray, praise and worship the Lord. Hallelujah.